This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com. I wanted to recommend and discuss an extremely interesting program that's available on the internet. It's actually from a Dateline NBC program called Desperate Days in Blue John Canyon. In the description of this video, you will find links to the different parts for the entire NBC Dateline program, which we recommend. This program was about the extraordinary story and experience of a hiker named Aaron Ralston. It's gripping and extremely powerful, and I wanted to talk about it.
A young hiker trapped for 6 days, 100 feet below ground, his arm crushed under this 800-pound boulder.
I dropped down here, and the boulder came, and it smashed my left hand here. And smashed my right hand up here.
He was invisible, alone, his food and water running out. Hundreds of miles away, his mother was determined to find her son.
My son has been reported missing since last Thursday night.
With death closing in, he made a heartbreaking tape for his family.
Whoever finds this, please make an attempt to get it to them.
And then, a bold decision. To free himself by cutting off his own arm.
I said to myself, here we go, Aaron, you're in it now.
There are so many interesting facets of this story. As the documentary explains, this was a young man who was very successful in the worldly sense. He did well in school, he landed a lucrative job, yet he was still searching for something. He had a great love and a yearning for the outdoors. It was so great that he in fact quit his lucrative job so that he could pursue his adventures in nature. He was a very experienced outdoorsman, and when he embarked on this adventure and walk in the remote desert of Utah, it wasn't considered to be a challenge for him. It was for relaxation and recreation, and he never imagined what would happen to him.
It was more than 1 year ago that 27-year-old Aaron Ralston set out alone for an afternoon hike in this rugged and remote canyon in Utah's southeastern desert. You may not recognize his name or his face, but chances are you do remember his incredible story. Ralston became trapped in this remote slot canyon, his right arm and his spirit crushed beneath the enormous weight of this boulder.
It was the most intense pain I've ever felt in my life.
He was so completely hidden from sight that searchers would never spot him, and so far from civilization that his cries for help would never be heard.
I thought I was going to die.
Food, water, and hope were in short supply.
It was a very dark time for me.
His only real chance for survival, a dull pocket knife, and whatever courage he could summon to use it.
The way that Aaron Ralston found himself in this predicament can only be attributed to the sovereign direction of divine providence. The way that he happened to be so far away from civilization that he couldn't be reached, that no one knew where he was, that he wound up trapped within this canyon, 100 feet down, within the earth itself, which is where people believe hell is. And he was not killed. He was still alive, but he was trapped. He was crushed and immobile. And St. Alphonsus, for example, points out that the lost souls are crushed under the press of the wrath of God and immovable as a stone, citing Exodus 15:16. Hence, the way these events occurred can only suggest a message about something bigger. It is, in my opinion, a microcosm of a lost soul. Yet he was still alive, and in essence taken to the edge, but still with a chance to come out.
Aaron Ralston wasn't looking for high-risk adventure in the Utah desert that Saturday morning. All he wanted was a few days of weekend R&R. By early afternoon, he traveled almost 20 miles from his camp to the entrance of Blue John. a slot canyon he'd read about in his guidebook. He planned to spend the next few carefree hours exploring, but everything was about to change.
This story is also emblematic of how people who think they are comfortable in their lives, with one mistake, can lose everything. And that mistake concerns failing to recognize what really endures and how everything else can be lost. In this case, he was described as carefree, yet by his own admission made the single biggest mistake of his life and wound up in a position in which everything was lost. And when he discovered that it was lost, it gave way to panic. One can only imagine the panic and the utter despair of the people who have forever lost everything when they realize after their deaths that they are forever trapped because they failed to recognize and embrace the only thing that mattered and made that most crucial of mistakes.
But on what he thought would be one of his least dangerous trips, Ralston would make what he says was the biggest mistake of his life. Aaron Ralston had set out that Saturday morning for a carefree desert hike through Blue John Canyon, but with no warning, he had descended into hell. Ralston was more than 100 feet underground, pinned to the canyon wall by an 800-pound boulder, his right arm crushed. The pain was overwhelming.
How much did it hurt? Definitely worse than any pain I'd ever felt.
And that pain quickly gave way to panic.
I threw myself against the boulder, and in half an hour or 45 minutes of that, just trying to get my knee up onto this boulder and lifting up, pushing up, resisting it in every way I could. But still, my hand was trapped.
And no matter how hard he tried, or how vigorously he struggled, he could not make any headway in freeing himself from his predicament. He was almost hopelessly trapped. Again, it reminds us of the lost souls who, no matter how hard they might struggle or how vigorously they might cry, they cannot do anything to improve their condition. And eventually, they give up. And he realized that attempting to free himself in that way was hopeless. He was also suffering and without sleep because he was trapped in this standing position with his arm crushed. That also reminds us of the lost souls, about whom it is said, "There is neither rest day or night." Apocalypse 14:11.
Available. Nor did my left hand, hold up very well to the task of just bashing it into the rock. I was scraping my knuckles up. My hand was swollen from when it had been smashed. From that point on, I didn't have the energy, and I knew this was going to be a much longer haul.
Ralston was already exhausted, but sleep was not an option. He was trapped in a standing position, no way to take the pressure off his legs. So he focused on staying warm, still chipping at the rock by the light of his headlamp, as best he could. As night one in Blue John Canyon stretched on endlessly,
no one could hear his cries, and so shouting was useless. And when the full realization that all had been lost set in, it was pure misery.
And
did you do any shouting help?
Once. And I limited myself to one shout a day. But I didn't like the sound of my voice. It sounded panicked. It sounded scared. I knew from experience that you can't hear more than 50 yards either way down a canyon.
Ralston would continue to record these video messages.
I've been putting a lot of effort into staying warm. I have very, very little water. My body's having difficulty controlling its temperature. I'm in deep stuff.
Once again, Ralston pushed that thought away, instead focusing on rationing his remaining food and water even further in order to survive. With only 10 ounces of water left, he now limited himself to one very small sip every hour and a half. He also took pains to conserve his two burritos, taking one small bite at a time. But as Sunday afternoon slipped into Sunday night, even those small bites and sips were a luxury, he couldn't afford.
I would allow myself to open up my water bottle. I would hold it up to my lips and tilt it just enough until I could feel the inside of my lip get wet, and then I would make myself put it down.
In those endless hours of suffering, concerning which Scripture says, of those in hell, it is where the worm dieth not, remorse of conscience sets in, the anguish that comes with considering what has been lost by one's mistake.
He was already feeling symptoms of extreme dehydration.
My body wasn't operating properly. Even during the day, I would have hot flashes and cold flashes without water. My body's temperature regulation was just out the window.
At night, it was even worse.
Even with a slight breeze, I would just shudder uncontrollably. From even the early stages of hypothermia, I wrapped my legs up in the rope that I had and put webbing around my neck to keep my neck warm, had my hat pulled down, put my CD Walkman headphones on my ears to keep my ears warm. 9 hours of just total darkness, cloudless skies, and the stars sucking the warmth out of me. The hours, especially from 3 to 6 in the morning, would go very, very slowly. I would think that I'd been passing as much as 10 to 15 minutes of time and look at my watch again, and it had been 3 minutes since the last time I looked at my watch. And
you
it would
look
go
at your watch a lot.
Yeah, that would be almost all the activity that I would do during those last hours in the morning when it was the coldest, and it felt darker.
With nothing to do but think, Ralston had plenty of time to question his own judgment, the choices that he'd made, and how he'd gotten into this predicament in the first place.
I don't know what it is about me that's brought me to this, but I go out looking for adventure and risk so I can feel alive. I don't tell someone where I'm going. It's just dumb.
In Wisdom Chapter 5, we read that the damned in hell have similar sentiments. They attempt fruitless repentance and express remorse. In Wisdom 5, 6, and following, we read that they say, quote, "We have erred from the way of truth, and the light of justice hath not shined unto us, and the sun of understanding hath not risen upon us. We wearied ourselves in the way of iniquity and destruction, and have walked through hard ways, but the way of the Lord we have not known. What hath pride profited us, or what advantage hath the boasting of riches brought us? All those things are passed away like a shadow, and like a post that runneth on. So we also, being born, forthwith cease to be, and have been able to show no mark of virtue, but are consumed in our wickedness. Such things as these the sinners said in hell." End quote. And they can only cry out in thirst and hunger.
What about food and drink? Think about that a lot?
Yeah. The beverages.
I can't stop thinking about good grapefruit juice, or margarita, or OJ, or a popsicle. All these great things that I would love to have. An orange. Oh, a tangerine. I can't think about that stuff.
One of the most interesting aspects of this story is that a raven would fly over his cave at exactly the same moment each day. It reminds us of God's infinite creative powers and how his creatures are more accurate than any man-made instrument.
There was a raven that flew overhead, and it came each day.
The flight of the raven was now part of Ralston's morning routine. It was the only sign of life that he had seen in almost 4 days.
With the accuracy and timeliness of a Swiss train, that every morning at 8:15, it was overhead flying up canyon. It kind of became my morning ritual to watch for it and to see it go.
The spiritual significance of the raven was not lost on Aaron. In mythology, the raven is a dark symbol thought to foreshadow death or carry the soul to the next world. Was it a sign for Aaron Ralston? As the raven soared overhead Tuesday morning, Aaron took his last sip of water.
It's also fascinating that the raven would fly right over where he was trapped. He was situated within the canyon, and he was surrounded, but he had a slender view of the sky above. It was as if he was on the edge of death and on the edge of the other world, yet there was still a glimmer of hope and light in this slender vision out of the canyon that he had, through which he could see the raven pass. He also understood the raven to represent death. Each day that he saw the raven was a day on which he believed that he had no hope for survival. I believe that God's use of the raven, which corresponded to Aaron's assessment of his current state, was a signal to Aaron that God was in control of everything. Indeed, as we will see, on Aaron's last day, the day that he made it out, that is the one day on which the raven did not pass over. But that day had not yet come, and he didn't know if it would. Thus, he was still suffering, miserable, and despairing over his mistake.
It's really sinking in how dumb this is. So many things about it. So many things. It's going to be a really long time before anybody gets to me.
As the days passed, Ralston questioned if anything could save him. His thoughts often turned dark, his mind playing out other horrific scenarios. One of the greatest dangers for canyoneers, a flash flood. Even a moderate rainfall could trigger a torrent of water that would send rocks, trees, and debris rushing through the canyon.
I was almost wishing for it to come. One sense that maybe I could get a little bit of water.
And Ralston had an even darker thought. Why wait for nature? Why not just finish the job himself?
If I had a way to end it, I probably would. It's miserable. It's cold. I can't keep the wind off of me. It just blows. It's not even just a breeze, but it's cold. I'm doing what I can, but this sucks.
Back in Blue John Canyon, Aaron was slowly losing ground in his fight to hold on.
Think about your family?
Most definitely. Think about my sister's wedding that was coming up at the end of August that I was going to miss, and not only miss, but put a whole somber overtone to it, that there would probably be a funeral before, you know, my sister got married. And
it was his fifth night in Blue John Canyon, and Ralston knew it would be his last.
It was a very dark time for me. I had very little confidence that I was going to get myself out, basically because I couldn't, you know, it came down to whether I could cut through my arm or not, and I couldn't do it. I didn't have a knife sharp enough to cut through bones.
As night fell on Blue John, it was utterly dark and deadly quiet. Ralston had now been without water for almost 2 days. He'd lost almost 45 pounds and was near hypothermia. He had many sleep-deprived hallucinations, many of them dark.
Since Aaron didn't consider himself physically capable of cutting off his arm with the knife he had, he essentially resigned himself to the reality that he was going to die. In considering this and his final reflections, one is struck by the emptiness of such a situation. He requested to be cremated, which is contrary to and in fact reprobated by Christian tradition, for it contradicts the truth of the resurrection of the body. He also speaks of his desire that beautiful lives are brought into this world in his honor. But one can only reflect upon the fact that when you're gone, unless you are going to heaven, what joy can you derive after you're dead? Unless one carries on into the next world, and there is true life in heaven, there is no joy after death, and no happiness can be derived from anything anyone would do for you after you are dead. It reminds us that without a proper consideration of salvation, eternity, the next world, and heaven, there is nothing but emptiness, and in fact there is nothing at all, for everything passes away, and when it does, it is nothing. And since he was outside the true faith, I believe God gave him a special grace and chance to experience being on the edge of hell. receiving a foretaste of it, as it were, so that he would reflect upon what is most important, and in fact the only thing that ultimately matters, and find the true faith in the life he would gain again. But it's up to each person to embrace that opportunity. Since so many aspects of this amazing story correspond to eternal and biblical realities about heaven and hell, it's not a surprise at all, in my opinion, that the way he regained entrance into life, and in fact he calls his survival a rebirth, was by losing his arm. And we read in the gospel, in Matthew chapter 5, that if your eye or hand scandalizes you, cut it off, because it's better to enter into life without one of those members than to be cast into hell. And while his arm did not necessarily impede him from going to heaven, other things did. It was symbolic of how he needs to turn to the true revelation of God, the one true faith of Christ, the gospel, which is only sustained and manifested by his one true traditional Catholic Church. If he wants to enter into life and remove himself from this misery and darkness and find real meaning to his sufferings and his existence.
Ralston had carved his own epitaph, his gravestone, Blue John's majestic walls. He'd recorded his last message to his family asking to be cremated and instructing them where to spread his ashes. He prayed to God and found peace. He was ready to accept death.
Again, love to everyone. Bring love and peace and happiness and beautiful lives into the world. My honor. Thank you. Love you.
While his comments indicate that he was unfortunately outside the true faith and far away from where he needed to be to gain eternal life, he did pray to God for insight and guidance about what he should do. And I believe that God heard that prayer, for he explains that it suddenly occurred to him at one point what he would have to do to be able to successfully cut off his arm and free himself. It was an insight that came to him, and I believe it was a result of his prayer to God for insight on that matter. God sometimes does hear the prayers of those outside the true faith, and if they would pray sincerely for the truth about salvation and his revelation, they would be led to the true faith, outside of which there is no salvation. And the documentary explains what he did to free himself.
Aaron Ralston had not expected to live to see the sunrise over Blue John Canyon on Thursday morning. His sixth day since being trapped, he was convinced he wouldn't make it to day seven. He needed a miracle.
I'd prayed about seeking guidance of what I was supposed to do and to finding an option that was going to actually work to get me out of there.
Aaron waited for the Raven to pass overhead on its daily morning flight. It was the one thing that he could count on.
It kind of became my morning ritual to watch for it and to see it go.
But that morning, the Raven, that symbol of death, never appeared. And Aaron Ralston's prayers were about to be answered.
So he was able to free himself from the slot canyon in which he had been trapped. But he still had an arduous journey through the rest of the desert and out of the larger canyon. He also had to make that journey in an unspeakably debilitated physical condition. He was on the verge of death, and the trek out of the canyon would have killed him.
But Aaron was fading quickly now.
I wasn't able to hike without keeping water in my mouth. I was so dehydrated that breathing at a rapid rate it parched me.
After two more arduous hours of hiking, finally, Ralston saw the trail in the distance where his truck was parked. But his heart sank.
I was looking up an 800-foot, very steep hillside. In direct sun, no shade, loose, sandy terrain, in 85 to 90 degree heat. It was going to be my death to try to hike out of there. Just at that time was when we heard the and the helicopter appeared.
I'm convinced that the events surrounding this extraordinary true story were not merely coincidental, but they were arranged by divine providence. His experience, in my opinion, was a microcosm of hell and what it is like for a person to be trapped in hell and share the miserable experience of one who has lost everything. I believe it was not only intended to give him an extra chance to find out the true purpose of life and embrace the true faith so that his life will have meaning and, most importantly, he could gain eternal life, but also for anyone who might hear about this story, that they would consider what is really important. It's very interesting that a number of years after his story was shown on NBC, he was interviewed again, and he revealed that some years after his experience, he was suffering from depression, severe depression. It was so severe, he said, that he was crying for much of the day. He also considered committing suicide. This is not a surprise, in my opinion, because he had been taken to the edge of death and the edge of hell. He had seen what life ultimately amounts to, and that if you do not find the real meaning of life and the purpose for which you were created, that is, to know God and His truth and His true faith and obtain happiness in the next life, nothing one can experience will have meaning or substance. For he's been to the end, and he has seen how things culminate. And unless something in this life has true value for the next, it is worthless. And I believe that's what he was perceiving. But he wasn't finding the answer, and one will not find the answer until one recognizes and embraces the true faith. It is my prayer that he and others embrace the true Catholic faith and the meaning, hope, and salvation which come with a life well lived according to it.